Good morning, good morning. How are you doing this morning? Well, let's proceeding through creation here. Now we're going to do today, we're going to do day five and part of day six. I'm going to stop before we get to man. We'll take up man next week. So we're going to talk about the creatures of creation. I use that word only because we're mainly going to be pointing out why evolution can be seen in the creation. I said that wrong. Why evolution is blown apart due to the creation, and the idea behind dinosaurs being millions of years old. So, let's start with a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you and praise you, Lord, so much for this time we get to spend in your word. And we praise you and thank you for this time that we can help to understand you a little bit better. We give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. So let's get some verses in here. And I got some cool pictures to show this time. Where is my verses one? There it is. Okay, we left off at verse 19. We finished up day three, and day four, and now we're moving into day five. And I guess there's no intro. Let's just read a couple of verses first. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly, and the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth, in the open firmament of heaven." Couple of things to point out on this one while I get my cursor is that we're talking about sea creatures here and flying creatures, and so that that's primarily what day five is about, and it does, of course, the open firmament. We're talking about the area between Earth and better known as the first sky. I remember that firmament we talked about in that last picture, and let me show that real quick so we know we're all on the same page. Plus, I'll get my pictures up here ready to advance. That one. This one. Okay. And now I need desktop capture. There. Okay. So we had talked about this vapor canopy a couple of days ago. And so this area that the open firmament would be between Earth and this canopy, or what we know as the sky, that area that it's actually not even quite that far, I don't think. I think that this area here would be, yeah, it's the sky. The birds and stuff fly pretty close to the Earth itself. They don't go very high. Maybe then they did, I don't know. But it, so that's the flying birds, and also ones that come out of the water. And that's one we're going to kind of look at today, because it, many people try to say that the creatures we're talking about here are things like crocodiles, and it didn't include the dinosaurs. And I want to kind of focus on that as to kind of show you why the current animals we know and love at one point were dinosaurs. And so that's what we're going to concentrate on when we take a look at this particular days of creation. Okay, verse 21. And God created the great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. That term after his kind is a great term to remember, because what it was basically saying here is that people who believe in evolution believe that that we started out in this kind of goo chemical, and that through attrition or through constant changes in our environment, that we progressed to become, first off, we became an animal similar to monkeys and things of that nature. We're talking about humans. The animal world was doing this too. That's why I made that joke, from the goo to the zoo to me and you. That's what basically evolution believes. And I think all of us have seen that when we studied in school. They show us these cute little charts of a primate crawling on all fours, and you see this progression of us progressing towards being a man. And this is over millions of years. And so I'm going to try to debunk that whole theory. I think I already did, by the fact that certain things have to exist together. They can't take time to develop, because once you have living creatures that are dependent on each other, that need food and things of that nature, everything has to be there ready to support that person. And that's why I don't believe you can do the millions of years thing. But after their kind, and when the other thing the evolutionists try to claim is that we're constantly getting better and better, and that we're still I can't even think the right term. We're still progressing in our evolution, and they try to prove things like when an animal changes due to environment, like it's called adaptation. For instance, the dog family. We know that, like the dogs family, there's probably 300 breeds of different kinds of dogs. So that during creation, God made one dog, okay? And then over the changes through the years, they adapted to their environment, and they became things like different kinds of dogs. And those different kinds of dogs interbreeded and became different other kinds of dogs. That's why we have little dogs, we have big dogs, we have dogs that work real hard. I remember I had a border collie at one point. That thing loved to herd things. It would even herd the kids. But they were adapted to be herding dogs. And over the generations, they developed into really good herding dogs. Some of the other dog breeds, like the Alaskan Husky, had a really thick fur. It was used in Alaska for pulling dog sleds. So it developed this thick hair. So that's adaptation. And that's what we're talking about after their kind. So just because an animal changes for its environment doesn't mean that it changed, it evolved. It didn't evolve anything. A dog is always a dog is always a dog. A dog never became a cat. And so that's the idea, is that if we all came from like one pot of goo and we developed into all these different creatures, that we've never seen that proven. And the thing about science is, the scientific theory is that it's provable, it's repeatable, and even the theory has to have basis in fact. And if you actually read the book of evolution, it's actually a theory. It's not fact. They've never been able to prove it. So that's my little piece on that. I'm not really good at explaining that part, but maybe the rest of this will be better. So that's what after this kind means. So that once it was a dog, it stayed a dog. It may have adapted to its environment, but it still came in. Cats became cats. Now you have different kinds of cat. You got a house cat. You got a lion. You got tigers. You got panthers. They're all in the cat family, but they're still cats. They still act like cats. But they just breeded. And most likely, over time, they adapted to their environment. The fastest cat, I think, is the leopard. It became really good at chasing down its food because its food was really fast. So it adapted and built up muscle masses over time to where it was able to catch its food. So that's what it means by and its kind. And God saw that it was good. And really, if you start studying DNA and genetics, you really find out that that God actually built all these different kinds of breeds into the DNA. and the DNA allowed them to change as they were adapting to their environment. Very similar thing happens to us. Is that we don't change, we're still humans, but that like some humans have more hair than others, that maybe they came from an ancestry that lived in the north, so they developed more hair to help keep them warm. That's the basic idea. It's not so much in humans, but that happens a lot in the animal kingdom. So what I want to do is here, winged fowl is mentioned in the Bible. And so I really want to I want to read something based on the fact that Job mentions some of this stuff. When God was talking to him towards the end of Job, he relayed to us some information that helps us to see these actual dinosaurs. And right off the bat, let me tell you right now, the name dinosaur was first developed. I was going to do it later. That's a good time to do it. Because actually in the Bible, you're going to see words like Levarichrin, which we're going to talk about right now, dragon. You see things like, another one we're going to talk about is we'll get to it in a minute. It's another verse in Job talking about things that are land creatures. But the word dragon, but the actual word dinosaur is a fairly new word. It was used when they started finding these bones, the dinosaur bones. It was about 1841. This man by the name of Sir Richard Owen, an English biologist and pathologist. A pathologist actually studies bones, particularly prehistoric ones. Came up with the name dinosaur to describe the extinct reptile fossils. The name comes from the Greek words dinos, meaning terrible, and sauros, meaning lizard. So it just basically means terrible lizard. And that's where dinosaur came from. So we got that out of the way. And so I'm going to read that. It's pretty lengthy. It's about 30 verses total. I skipped around a little bit. But I want you to listen really carefully and listen to some of the things that God tells Job here. And think about why, and try to picture in your mind what kind of animal he's describing. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? That sounds like fishing, and that's what it is. Canst thou put a hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he play with him as a bird, or will thou bind him for the maidens? I was put him in a cage as like a pet. Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? Lay thine hand upon him, remember the battle, do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whosoever is under the whole heaven is mine. That was God made him. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Who can discover the face of this garment, of the garment? And who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a closed seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together that they cannot be sundered. By his nissings a light does shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. That's an important verse. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke, and as out of his seeth pot a cauldron. He breathed kindred coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. That's pretty plain right there. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone, yea, as hard as a piece of the nether millstone. In other words, he has no compassion. When he raises up himself, the mighty are afraid by reason of breakings. They purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold the spear, the dart, nor the habergeon. He esteemeth iron as straw and brass as rotten wood. Basically, so strong that he can bend steel like a straw and brass like it's rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. Sharp stones are under him. He sharpeth stone pointed things upon the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is none, there is not his like, who is made without fear. He beholdeth all things. He is king over all the children of pride. Okay. So what kind of animal do you think that is? Well, the most of the scientists will say that it's probably some kind of a the actual definition for Leviathan. It's from the Hebrew, a wreathed animal that is a serpent, especially the crocodile or some other large sea monster. Figuratively, constellations of the dragon, also known also a symbol of Babylon, Leviathan. It also means mourning. When somebody dies and you're mourning for them. So basically a dragon, okay? But, and what's interesting is that this dragon is fire breathing. So I'm going to show you some pictures, and I think you'll see what I'm driving at when it comes to why I believe this is actually talking about a dinosaur. And that's the basic thing I'm trying to get across. Where did my pictures go? I'm sure. Oh, they're there. So there he is. That's a crocodile. The largest crocodile is actually a saltwater crocodile, which can grow up to 23 feet in length, weighing about 2,200 to 2,600 pounds, and lives about 50 to 75 years. Just about everything we saw in that chapter I read describes them pretty well. But I want to bring in another creature that a lot of that we see when we see dinosaurs displayed, and kind of pay attention to this area here, primarily, and also the mouth. So this is the creature I'm thinking of. Oh, wrong picture. Okay, well. Now, this creature actually is a T-Rex, so they found bones of him, and you notice he's got short legs here, okay, so let's say over time, and I'm going to explain why this one is bigger than a crocodile, and it was actually one of the verse, I think it's one of the ones I took out that actually said that he can stand on his hind legs. Let me double check that real quick. While you're looking at it, you can compare the two. Let me just talk about this T-Rex. T-Rex typically, from head to toe, let me bring that little picture in, it's better. This is a comparison of the largest crocodile and a typical T-Rex. Largest crocodile ever seen. So T-Rex about 40 feet in length. That other one I mentioned, the seat runs about 23 feet in length. and lives 50 to 75 years. Now, something that some people don't realize about lizards or any kind of reptile, they never stop growing. So that's the point I'm trying to bring across here, is that dinosaurs lived during the early years. They actually, the lifespan, as we already showed you once in that chart, if you want me to show it to you again, I can, was basically that Noah lived to about, I think it was about 190 years. Here's that chart. Adam lived, 930 years. And Seth, his son, lived 912 years. So let's say that the lifespan of a dinosaur during this same time frame, before the flood, we're talking, this is all before the flood, that dinosaurs were living then. And that, and they were able to live even as much as 500 or 600 years. Remember, I just mentioned that a crocodile's average lifespan is 50 to 75 years. So let's say that even today's reptiles, they grow quicker when they're young and they start slowing down as they get older, but they still continue to grow. They never stop growing. And that's why you get some of these massive crocodiles. I've seen crocodiles. The average crocodile is probably only about, maybe 8 feet long, 8 or 9 feet long. But it's because they get killed by something, usually. Or if they're able to live like humans did in that time frame, to 700 or 800 years old, you could see that they could get pretty big. So this idea that the dinosaurs could not exist back here, why? Why couldn't they? And so that's what I'm trying to prove here. So we're going to talk about one other one too, and it's a land creature. And God describes him too. But let me just go back to where we were. Okay, there's our crocodile. And there's the comparison between the two. Like I said, just a typical T-Rex was only 40 feet long. So that it's not much bigger than the classic, there's one there, than the classic crocodile. But like I showed you, this hind leg area here, see how it kind of looks? All you'd really have to do is shorten these legs over time. Remember, this one here could be 400 or 500 years old. Let's say as a youngin, this leg here grew, and these ones didn't grow so well. Well, you can see that if these were a lot shorter, that they would look a lot like a crocodile. Notice this leg area back here. Don't that look really similar? And it's got scales on it. And of course, the other thing is the mouth. You see this mouth here, and then there's a crocodile's mouth. And the funny thing about crocodiles, and that's what he was talking about, is that as you can hold their tongue down, you can't hold their mouth open. Those verses in there are on that too. Because I was taught when I was near areas where crocodiles and alligators were, is that you could actually step on their mouth and hold it closed. But if any part of your body ever got on the inside, that they could crush your leg and pulverize it. And there's actually some other verses I'm going to show you that talk about the fact that the T-Rex had that same power. They could crush things with their jaws. But if their mouth is closed, have you ever seen them when they transport crocodiles? They tie their mouth shut with a rope. And I think they even said that kind of in one of the verses. Maybe I should have talked about this before I read it. But you're welcome to go back to chapter 41 and read it again. Let me just see if there's a couple, if I can pick out a couple of those verses I just mentioned. There's one here. His teeth are terrible, roundabout. You know, you can see the teeth roundabout. And if you go back to the T-Rex, you get the same idea. See those teeth roundabout? See, I think God is actually describing these. And what's happened since then is the crocodile has gotten smaller because they don't live as long. His scales are his pride. They got scales. Shut up together as with a closed seal. There was one other, let me bring another picture too. There was one other animal that kind of reminded me a little bit of this too. And so that it could have been another adaptation. Let me just bring this picture up. And that's this one here. Because it was talking a little bit about these scales on the back. I thought it might be talking about this one also. But realize that all we can find is bones of these. So what their skin actually looked like is speculation. Okay, so I don't want to spend too much time here because we've got other things to talk about. But you're more than welcome to go read chapter 21 and kind of pick out in there things that kind of can help you to see that what God was talking about there was probably a T-Rex, or what we know as a T-Rex. And they breathe fire, and that's where the dragon theory comes from. And you know that Chinese mythology talks about dragons all the time. And the Bible has dragon in as a symbolic symbol of Satan. And so that's how Satan got that name as Leviathan, there's some dual meaning there. As we get closer to Revelation, you start seeing this symbology used as a dragon. And the dragon is always depicted as being Satan, as an evil thing. Okay, so some other things to consider about this. Let's see, where am I in my notes? Yeah, just some other verses on the Leviathan. Leviathan. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathan in pieces and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. That's the idea, that it can crush things with its mouth. Psalms 104:26. There go the ships, there is that Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. The other thing is that they believe that the T-Rex adapted, it originally started in the water. And that's why crocodiles also are able to, they're really good swimmers because of their tail. And so that they actually started in the water. And there's a couple other dinosaurs that look like they're, it starts with a P, a Pleiotoritus. That actually has fins instead of feet. And you can see the resemblance, too, between them and the T-Rex that's coming out onto, having the ability to come out on land. I think what God was actually describing, though, was the T-Rex kind of a looking animal. This other dinosaur was in the water, and it was adaptable to the water. And you can see that stated here also. Okay, Isaiah 27:1. This is probably my favorite verse. In the day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent. So here he spells it all out for us. Even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. So it definitely points out exactly who this person is. It's a serpent that connects it to the dragon, and it the current day dinosaurs that they're trying to push as being millions of years old could definitely have been in existence during Adam's time. Okay. There's also another quick theory. Let's say that all of these things were in the area near where Adam was. That's where the animals started, and they were spreading out from there. And it's kind of interesting that at the flood, most of these became fossilized, and fossils, and when human tissue gets compressed for a period of time, I forget how long it is. It's not that long. I think it's like about a year or two. It turns into oil. And it's kind of interesting that whole area where the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve started is probably the richest area for oil reserves in the world. Like it had the most, the highest level of content of some kind of animal that turned it all into oil. I guess a little side note on there. I guess I mentioned to finish off T-Rex. It was about 40 feet long with a height of about 17 feet, a width of about 6 feet, a hip height of about 12 to 13 feet. And he weighed approximately anywhere from 18,000 to 30,000 pounds. So he's a pretty fierce beast. So continuing, verse 22, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the reason I mentioned the fowl, too, and the whole idea behind the dragon is there's also a flying version of a dinosaur that looks similar to what we call a dragon. And that's where the fire breathing comes into play. It definitely spells out in chapter 41 of Job that there were creatures that could breathe fire. Verse 23, and the evening and the morning were the fifth day. So we finished off the fifth day, and I am taking too long. So now we're going to move into this. The second part won't take quite as long, but this one could go 40 minutes or so. Okay, into the next day, verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things, beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. Now we're going to talk about those beasts. We got another Job section to read. This time I'll bring the creature first so you can see it. Well, this one's a lot shorter. So let me just read it. It's in Job 40, 15 through 24. Behold now the behemoth which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox. So he's a vegetarian. He's not a meat eater like T-Rex was. Lo now, his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. Lo now, his strength, oh, his loins, and his face is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. Keep that in mind. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. Very strong animal. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Surely the mountains bring forth food. In other words, he needs a lot of food, where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees, in the covert of the reeds and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadows. The willows of the brook compress him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river. So he has to drink a lot of water. And hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. Basically saying that he could draw up the whole river Jordan into his mouth. That's a big animal. He taketh it with his eyes. His nose pierceth through snares. Okay, so that's the behemoth that's mentioned in Job. Now I want to show you this creation. So a couple of things we mentioned in there. Okay. So most people believe that what Job is talking about here, what God is talking about, is either an elephant. I want you to make note of his tail, okay? Or a rhinoceros, or a hippo, and notice his tail, okay? I think you know where I'm going. God said that, let me bring that verse back up. I want you to make sure you see that verse. His moveth his tail like a cedar. Okay. Well, cedar is a tree. It's not a very small tree. There's a cedar with a man leaning against it. Here's another one. These are quite old ones. Of course, you know, trees, they continue to grow forever. And this is a young one. And this is actually one that's in the Middle East. That's why I brought this one. Still a very big tree. If you look next close to it, you can see that little chair next to it. So it's right there. So you can see this is a big tree. So if you're like me, I don't see that tail like a cedar. And I don't see that tail like a cedar. So at least one other animal that it could be. And that's that one. Now that's a tail like a cedar. And I think we all know what this animal is. It's a Brontosaurus rex. And I believe that's what God was describing. It's actually a vegetarian. Oh, there's those flying birds in the picture here. those are the ones that breathe fire that I think is described in that other one. So that was my basic idea, my defense of the idea that God's Bible is correct and all the other theories about evolution are not correct. I think God himself described in the Bible dinosaurs. And that, so I hope that I convinced you also, and that we can all agree that creation happened in 6 days. The other thing they'll always say is things like, well, you know, a dinosaur, you can't fit many dinosaurs on the ark. And I said, well, yeah, you can, in an egg. They laid eggs, and we found plenty of egg, dinosaur eggs. So the two eggs that God put on the ark were eggs, not full-grown dinosaurs. Plus, they grew very slowly. Like I mentioned, they had 800 or 900 years to grow. I think we've all seen those pictures in the cartoons of the baby dinosaurs, how tiny they are. So if you take a couple of one-year-old dinosaurs with you, they're no bigger than a dog. And that's the idea that the reptile continues to grow for its entire life. So on to verse 25. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So that's where we're going to stop today. Just one final little note to throw in there. It talks here about creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And I couldn't help but think about the over in Job. There's one more verse to throw in here that kind of talks about that. God really gave Job quite the lesson on what some of these animals really looked like. And again, this is after the fall. You remember after the fall that God proclaimed, and we'll get to this when we get to chapter 3, but that Satan the snake was going to crawl on the ground. I believe that the snake probably started out with feet. But here in Job 26:13, by his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. So there you can see the crooked serpent. Sure sounds like a snake. So that is my creation review of where I see dinosaurs in the Bible. And I hope that that was enlightening. So let's end with a prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for including that information in Job to help us see that dinosaurs weren't a million years old. They're just as old as Adam and Eve were. And that they haven't been, they've been, they just went extinct. And there might be still a few around. But we praise you and thank you, Lord. They just got smaller. And we give you thanks for all that you do. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Yeah, so basically, too, the dinosaurs just got smaller. Now, this could actually be an elephant, except that the tail doesn't match. But there's a few other dinosaurs that could have turned into a hippo and and an elephant. I didn't really get into that because they didn't have any verses on it in the Bible. But I wanted to kind of show that comparison. So have a great day, good weekend, and we will talk again on Monday. And of course, I'll see you all on Sunday for our next lesson in Daniel. Yeah, we're going to be looking at Daniel 9:27. It's a future prophecy of a time frame that none of us are going to see because we'll be in heaven watching it from the mezzanine, as a Christian person I always used to say. And so we'll see you then.